Okay. Well, today I want to, like I said, I want to talk to gray hairs and I want to talk to younger people too. And you know, what I've kind of come to learn is that, you know, older people and younger people do have a lot in common, actually. This one thing we do have in common for sure, I know, is this, is that whether you're older or younger, every person lives with a real sense, and it's not such fun, a real sense of emptiness and meaninglessness. Sometimes younger people experience this because they don't know where the heck they're going or what's the point. And there's some nodding heads. And then some older people say, because, well, gee, I'm so old now. What do I do? I'm not working and I don't, you know, and so there's always this feeling, this empty or meaningless. And I want to tell you something today that I do believe God has for us. And here's what it is, basically, that God gives great fulfillment. He gives great meaning to those who take the right path and to those who are involved in the right purpose. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We pray that you'll help the dear people, and please help me to be a good helper. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our story today begins about 30 years ago in this room. I preached my first sermon right here 30 years ago. How many of you were there? Was there? Is that something? We look the same, too, don't we? Yeah, I was 34, and I met this man, Pastor Pagan, and he asked me if I wanted to help, and I said, okay. And so I was a field worker, and I preached my very first sermon right here. I think the pulpit was right about here somewhere, right about here. And I tell you, I thought like I took some really good drugs or something, because it was such an intoxicating time to be involved with this planting of a church and all of these things. It was the greatest thing. And one thing I learned from Pastor Pagan was this, that if you get a vision from God and you go for it, it can come true. And so that was 1988. In 1989, I said, I want to try it. So in 1989, I said, I want to plant a church too, full of gypsies. And a lot of you know that Lyndon and me are gypsies. And so there we were, and we said, let's do this. And guess what? With the help of a lot of churches, it came true. A few years later, because there were so many homeless people coming to our church, I got a vision, and I said, these women, they're living on the streets. We got to do something. And I had a vision for a homeless shelter, and we did it. We opened it. It was great. A few years later, I said, what about the guys? They need help too. And so we opened a men's shelter. It was fantastic. And then a few years after that, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod said, well, you're a gypsy guy. We should send you overseas. And I said, I got a better vision. I want to reach gypsies overseas too, but I'll tell you what. How about if I stay as pastor of New Life Lutheran Church and just go back and forth, which I did with Linda 30 times. Yeah, we'd wake up and say, what country are we in today? I mean, literally, we'd bump into walls and say, oh, wait, we're home now, you know. And it was wonderful. Now, did you see what was going on? Every time I envisioned something, by the way, the gypsy work is still going. And if you ever want to talk to me about it, I'm always happy to talk about it. But everything I envisioned happened. Everything I thought about and could see, I mean, there it happened. And then about 11 years ago, I guess I got called to Holy Cross to be their pastor of missions. So I was there for a while. It was going well. And then after a while, something happened that I was not prepared for. The visions stopped coming. Completely stopped. I couldn't see any visions. I couldn't hear anything. Nothing. 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 It was like being in a giant IMAX theater and watching this great film, and then all of a sudden somebody turned on the lights and turned off the projector, and you're staring at this blank screen. To say that it felt empty, to say that it felt meaningless, that doesn't begin to describe it at all. It was the worst, probably the worst feeling I ever felt, to feel that empty, to feel that life. And, you know, it's like after a while you ask these dumb questions. And to me, they weren't dumb at the time. It's like, okay, why do I go to work every day? Can someone tell me? Why am I living? Can someone tell me? Why was I sent to this planet anyways? Now, some of you know that even when you're in an existential crisis, you still have to go to work every day, right? You still have to go to work. It's not like the world stopped. You still have to do what you got to do. And the blessing for me is, okay, I still had to preach sermons. I still had to study the Bible, and I was always sort of a little bit nervous, like, Lord, please give me something that I can tell the people. There's nothing there. But you may have noticed, some of you that are a little more familiar with the Bible, that the reading from today comes from the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit gets poured out on the people. And you'll notice it's tucked in there. You miss it. And in fact, I never saw it before until the last time I preached on it all those years ago. And it said, the younger people will see visions, the older people will dream dreams. And I got very intrigued about that. Like, what in the world is going on? And then I began to think, what if I don't have visions anymore because, oh yeah, I'm not 34 anymore. And you know, it's funny, when you get older, and you young people will get this too when you get older, it just happens like in a few months that 30 years goes by. That's what it feels like. It comes around too fast. And so I was still trying to envision things, and then this is what I really noticed, but I missed it at the beginning. All those stories I told you about churches and missions and shelters and all those things, in every single case, when I look back, there was this intergenerational partnership of younger people with vision and older people with dreams. And at the time, I totally missed it. But when I look back, and I'm sure the Lord helped me see that it was older and younger coming together. Man, I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that we're supposed to let go and let God, but I also learned that the letting go part is not easy. And whoever invented that expression, I like to meet him and tell him he's stupid, okay, because he shouldn't just go around saying things like that. Let go, let God. I mean, come on, how do you do that? It's not easy. In fact, it's impossible, really. Once in a great while, if you forget to let go, maybe he can do something, but most of the time we're too busy hanging on, and like I was. The other thing I learned is this. God really knows better. Not only does he know better, he loves better too. He loves you better, way better than you do. He loves me better, way better than I do. He loves everybody better. He knows how to do this love thing in ways like very smart lady up in Canada once said, nobody ever loved anybody like anybody liked to be loved. It's true, isn't it? Nobody, it's just never happened. Except even with Jesus, he sometimes loves us in ways we don't want to be loved, you know. We want to be loved in another way. But remember, he does love you, and he wants you to learn these things today. The other thing I learned is that older and younger need each other a lot more than we think. It's not happening the way I'd like to see. There's a problem going on. And I guess I'd like to tell you this first. The reason that you, most of you, feel so unfulfilled and meaningless is two reasons. Number one, if you're a Christian, now if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply. But if you are a Christian, the reason you feel so empty is because God's Spirit has filled you up so much, He doesn't allow room for anything else to come in. I'm going to say that again. God's Spirit has filled you to the point where nothing else can get in. And for you, it feels like emptiness. It's not emptiness. In fact, you're filled so full, nothing else gets in because He's a little bit jealous for you. He doesn't want you filling yourself with other nonsense. He doesn't want you filling yourself with other stuff, other things, other wants, other needs, other people, any other anything. So that's why you experience this emptiness. It feels like emptiness. I could do a 6-week sermon series on why that is, but okay, for now, just trust me. But if you ever want to do the 6-week sermon series, just call me. Now, the thing of it is, folks, the reason you feel the meaninglessness is because you're probably plugged into the wrong purpose. And that's probably what happened to me, I think. I got plugged in to thinking I'm a visionary, and everything felt meaningless. But my life doesn't feel like that now. It feels very meaningful. I'm going to explain to you in a minute why. Because you're going to learn today some ways that you can also do that. I'm just so happy that this happened to me. I didn't like when it was happening, but I like that it did happen so I could tell you about it today. And so what I'm saying now, younger and older, you got to do this, and not just in a fake way or a phony way, but the real thing. And here's why. There are two truths in the world, always. Now, I'm going to explain what that means. Two truths in the world. I'm going to give an example. Young people know things that are true right now that I don't know about. And they're going, yeah, right, we do. See, look at, they know. They know what I mean. They know stuff that is true right now that I couldn't possibly imagine. I'm just going to give a simple example. They know why you get a new phone, even though the old one works fine. And for me, I would say the untrue thing, like, well, you wait until it broke. And they would say, that's not true. You wait till the new one comes out. Now, can I understand that truth? No. But for these guys, it makes perfect sense. Okay, that's great. So I call that truth that is true now. It's true right now. And by the way, when I was younger, when I was your age, we had those too. Like, you know, when we got a new rock, and then our parents would say, get a, you know, why you get a new, the old rock was fine. Anyway. Okay, whatever. I'm not that old. But but now let's take older people, and I'm a part of that group. You know, we know something too. In fact, you might know the stuff that's true now that we don't know about, but you know, let me tell you something. We know the timeless stuff. It was true. It's true right now, and it's always going to be true. We lived through it. We know what we're talking about. Don't ever question us on timeless stuff. On the new stuff, don't question the younger people. They know what they're talking about. Now, doesn't it seem reasonable that if you're going to make something work today, and I don't care if you want to sell shoes or you want to start a church or whatever it is you want to do with your life, isn't it true that you would have to have the new truth that young people know and the timeless stuff? Think about it. If you just get young people together, what are they going to do? Kind of make a mess. And if you get just older people, you're going to get a lot of naps and a lot of not too much. But you see if you put them both together. Every retired preacher has his dream. And this one is mine. That like never before, younger and older will come together in service to God and to the neighbor. Now, Let me talk to the, raise your hand if you under 30 or under 40. Let's do under 40. Because now you get to my age, it's sort of like under 40. Okay, they're under 40. All right, the rest of you can take a nap. Let me talk to the younger. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And again, you don't have, sort of like, yeah, maybe I'll think about it. You don't have that because it's not my advice. It's from the Bible. So here it is. Number one, you have to stop being afraid to ask for help. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Okay? Stop being, you know, it's not for no reason that the Bible says don't be afraid over 300 times. You know why? Because we do it a lot. We're afraid most of the time. Oh, and by the way, you want a quick cure for stress? Here it is. Next time, like, you go to work or something, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was so stressed out. Don't use the word anymore. It's kind of a dumb word. Here's a better word. When you come to work and you were late, and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I was so afraid. Because that's all that was really happening. Stress is just like a word they made up so that you could admit that you were afraid. But let's just tell it, let's call it what it is. Doesn't it matter what we call a thing? And we know to be fearful is a sin against God. You don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying that you won't feel it. I'm not saying that it goes away. What I'm saying is every time you feel it, you have to say, I know that's bad, Lord. It's wrong. It doesn't please you. Stop it. Secondly, here's another one. Don't be afraid to fail, young people. You must fail often, and you must fail well. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Because, man, I failed a lot. I know. When you fail, you got to be able to come to me and say, yeah, I messed up, Pastor Larry. Okay. And my next question is going to be, what did we learn? You said it, didn't you? You will never, ever get anywhere in life if you don't fail a lot and fail well. You know, Solomon, the smartest man in the world when he was an old man, told young people, you got to get out there. You got to get on ships. Go here, go here, go there. Now, he didn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. What he knew in his wisdom, smart man, is I know if you young people get out there and do stuff and mess up, you're going to learn things. I'm just going to do an embarrassing example. This guy right over here is a great guitar player. You know why he's so good? Is that you got two rhythm guitar players playing at the same time. That ain't easy to do. And if you never played the guitar, what they're doing, they make it look like they're sleeping, but it actually takes a lots and lots of work to make two rhythm guitars sound that good. A well-known group back in the 60s started doing that. They were called the Beatles. And they were the guys who kind of started that sound with two rhythm guitars. You guys do a great job, by the way. Very good. A lot of failures, though, right? A lot of like that, right? Oh, wait. Okay. Count me off again. That's how you learn. Please stop that. And the third thing, if you're a younger person, tell us what you see. I know you think they're silly. They're not silly ideas. Here's what we know from the Bible and from human experience. Young people see these great visions, and yet the sin and the shame of it all is they never tell us. And then somebody else does, and you go, hey, they stole my... The idea's in you right now. Don't wait. If you're a younger person, tell us what you see. Now, if you're older like me, I'm going to tell you why they don't talk to us much. Now, I teach at Ivy Tech, and I teach anthropology there. And one day, I was very curious about this idea. How can older people like me help younger people? So I said to the class, I said, tell me, how could an older guy like me help younger people like you? Silence. I said, come on. So one brave soul raised his hand and said, save the sermon. Now, he didn't know I was a preacher. And I said, wow, that's pretty good, okay. What do you mean by that? He said, well, you know, I mean, we want help from people like you. Obviously, you guys have a lot of experiences, but, you know, we don't have to know that in the 70s it was better, and in the 70s you were better, and all that stuff. I said, yeah, we kind of do that. Okay. And don't, you know, don't judge us, and don't look down on us for technology. And one guy said, yeah, you had TVs. I said, yeah, we did. And they said, you had telephones, didn't you? And they weren't sure, actually. They said, you had phones, right? I said, well, yeah, but, you know, just in one place, you know. And they said, okay. Now, here's the craziness of it. Older people, you must tell young people your dreams. Now, you can ask my wife. I'm not lying about this. It is seriously cutting into my nap time that the word is out on me that I love to talk about my dreams. And then the younger people always want to talk to me about this. Now, it's weird because it's cutting into my nap time very badly. Because I love to talk about my dreams for the world, my dreams for God's church, my dreams for our town, my dreams for all kinds of things. But when I get to a certain subject, they barely breathe. They stop breathing when I tell them, I say, here's my dream for you. And then they stop breathing. They don't want to miss what comes next, see? And 99 times out of 100, when I tell them my dream for them, you know what's weird? They say, huh, I have a vision that's something like that. But I said, I knew that. Why do you think God gave me the dream? You see, young person, if you're dreaming, if you're envisioning something right now, young person, it's because some older person is dreaming about it. I know this for a fact. I know it. Back when I planted my first church, I had this vision to start this church for all kinds of crazy people and, you know, drug addicts and, you know, all kinds of weirdos, gypsies, people like me. And so we did it, and then we started to get these older Lutherans, you know, and I thought, wow, what are they doing here, you know? I thought this was just going to be for this. So I sat them down, and I said, you know, I'm curious about your interest in this kind of a weird church. And over, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, sometimes 80s, you know what they said? Oh, we've been dreaming about this for years. You've been dreaming about a weird... Well, maybe not this weird, but they said, but we were dreaming about a church that would be open for anybody. Now, remember, this is the 80s. If you played guitars in church in the 80s, we had some people come in with crosses and point them at us, you know, like, what are you doing? So, you know, they thought we were, excuse me, vampires because we used guitars in church. This is the 80s, okay? That was bad in those days. But people had dreamed about it. And then when I heard about their dreams for having a weird church, guess what it did for me, young people? Man, I could stand up straight and say, man, I got courage. Because I know my vision is not just some stupid idea that I had. Well-respected people in this town will back me. Man, I could stand up straight. Oh, what a thrill. What a thrill. So please, older people, tell them your dreams. Tell them anything that you're dreaming about, anything at all. You know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I don't get wistful. I do. When I think about, you know, being a visionary in those days, and, oh, it was very exciting. And I do get the feeling in me, you know, to do it again. But as the feeling comes, what I do now is I lay down and then the feeling, you know, goes away. And I literally mean that. I'd literally lay down and I take a nap. And you know what I do? I dream. I dream about visions that young people I know have. I dream dreams about what young people could do if we older people will come together with them. Dear friends of Southwest Church, if you find that you're unfulfilled, it's because the Spirit of God is jealous and He won't allow anybody or anything to ever get in you. Only him. And if you find that your purposes don't match up or it seems meaningless, well, change the purpose. It could be, older person, that you might have a greater purpose now. That's what I found. I'm actually more at peace and feeling like I'm having more enjoyment now than maybe I ever have. And I'm 64. I mean, that shouldn't be. But actually, I'm so at peace where God has me now. I've never felt more fulfilled or that God, that life was ever more meaningful because I'm not trying to fight him, you see. Because in the last days, the young people will see visions and the older people will dream dreams. And if you do that, I know that God will bless you. Amen. We now stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, make